I want to thank the Lord this morning for His blessings. He's been good to me. And I venture to say that He's been good to every one of you. I desire your prayers. I have a little something on my mind. I feel that I would be a little remiss if I didn't speak some things about Christmas. We are 2 days away from Christmas Day, what the world celebrates as Christmas Day. The fact of it is, we don't really know what day it was the Lord came to the earth. We don't even know the time of the year. We just know He came. Christmas. And the world has made a long season out of it, haven't they? They have parties. They have decorations. They have lights. They do all kinds of things in celebration of Christmas. They have a lot of music. They do a lot of things. But the one thing that our world doesn't do is fall down and worship Christ. I suppose God could have sent His Son into the world as a man, already a man. And He could have begun teaching the commandments that God gave Him to teach and do the works that He came to do, but man wouldn't believe someone like that. They would find a way to denounce it. Find a way to undermine it. They already have anyway. I suppose He could have sent Him as a little baby in a basket and had Him put on a doorstep somewhere, maybe Mary's doorstep. And all she had to do was raise the baby Jesus. But He didn't choose to do that either, did He? I want to talk about the plan. The true Christmas story this morning. God had a plan. Thank the Lord for that plan. God chose to send His Son into the world through a virgin. And He chose Him to become flesh as you and I. He chose Him to take on the pathway of experiencing the hurts, the pains, the sorrows, the sufferings, everything you face, everything you have to deal with. He chose His Son to come that way. I think about the beginning. We talk about the beginning, and as I said, I want to talk about the plan. In the beginning, God had a plan. He made man in His own likeness. He made man upright. He made man without sin. But when man disobeyed God, and that's when sin came into the world. And that's when the original plan had to change. But He had another plan in place. I want you to remember this morning that God has been merciful to you and I. I don't know altogether what life is going to consist of for you. I don't know altogether what it's going to consist of for me. But I do know that God loves me. And He's given me a hope this morning. And it's through His Son, Jesus Christ. So the plan was for Adam and Eve to just till the garden, behave themselves wisely. But then the devil came along, didn't he? And Satan began to tempt her. Do you ever have that problem? We've all had Satan come to the door, haven't we? We've all had the devil come and talk to us and try to promote things that are wrong and that are evil, that are contrary to God. So she listened to him and she partook of the fruit, whatever it was, and man fell. Man fell. God sent them forth from the garden and He told them to go out and procreate. And they went out of the garden and they began to have children and they had Abel and Cain and so forth and things went on and man began to be born and man began to be doing a lot of things. They got married. They had children of their own. Life just went on. God's looking down on all this and he sees it all. He saw when man was born of man instead of God that man needed a Savior. He saw that. And he made a plan. He had a plan in place. And before the foundation of the world, he chose a plan that his Son would come into the world and die for you and me. He died for us, folks. And I'm glad he did. The scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God gave his only Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to enunciate, I want to underline for each and every one of us this morning that it's necessary for you to believe in God. You are not going to get him in your heart and in your life unless you believe in God. It says over in, and I can quote the scripture, but I'm going to read the verse. It says over in Hebrews, the 6th verse, 11th chapter, if I can find it. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible to please him unless we have faith. The world is in the condition that it's in today because there's no faith. They don't please God. They have no faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Do you believe God is this morning? We believe he is. Is he your all in all? Is he the one that supplies every need? Is he the one that gives you the life and the breath and all things? Is he the one that stands as supreme being, Lord of Lords and King of Kings in your heart and life? As you live day to day to serve him and please him, is he the one that you look to? Is he the one that you lift up your eyes to? Is he the one you give praise to? I'm going to read, by the help of the Lord, a few verses. It's Sunday, and it's Christmas, so it's okay to read the Bible. I want to read that second chapter of Luke, as Brother Rick began it. I want to read a little more than that. So you follow along with us in Luke, the second chapter. And it says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. My understanding is at that time that they were taking a census. So everyone was going back to the place that they were born and they were being counted and they were being numbered so they would know how many people they were and who they were. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And they all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. I want to stop right there for a second and I want to say something. To the best of your ability, each and every one of you, I know there's not many here this morning, but the ones that are here have a soul and they're important. And the Word of God should be important to us. But I want every one of you to try your best. Do the best that you can to put yourself in the place where these people are that we read about here right now. Put yourself in their place. Think about if these things were happening to you. Think about this. So it says, and Joseph, also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was. He's talked about Joseph and he's talked about Mary here. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And she laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I suppose if I had to think it out and study it out and try to determine another way, I probably would not be able to find a more humble, lowly way to bring the Son of God into this world than a babe laying in a manger. Not in a bed. Mary wasn't in a bed. Laying on the floor of a manger there and writhing in pain, delivering her child, her firstborn son. And then she placed him in a manger. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, came to us by way of a manger. He came in the flesh by way of a manger. He came because he wanted to identify with you and me what we are experiencing as we go through life. It is the reason that he can sit on the right hand of the Father this morning and make intercession for you, because he understands. And he can look the Father in the face and say, Father, I've been there. I've done that. I've went through that. I know the pain that they have. I know the sorrow they're experiencing. Lord, Father, would you please send them some help? Do you believe God is? He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And I'm thankful for that this morning. So I want you to identify with these characters. And there were in the same country, this is the Christmas story. It isn't Santa Claus, is it? It isn't the reindeer. It isn't the presents. Maybe a little family and friends to be together and enjoy life together and rejoice in what happened that glorious day when Jesus came into the world. But beyond that, this is the Christmas story. And it says, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I missed the eighth verse, didn't I? The shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. It was brought out this morning. This isn't just ours. It isn't just for us. It's for all people. All people that are born on the face of this earth. I think of that scripture that says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. And I'm glad for that this morning. For he said, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The plan was that God would send his Son to be the Savior for man. You needed something. You needed someone to stand in the gap for you. I did too. We needed someone that would take our sins, take what we deserved, and take the punishment, go to the cross, do all the things that this little baby they're talking about, that he did for us. He didn't stay a baby all of his life. He grew up to be a man. And I don't want to see him, and I don't want to think of him whenever I'm in need or when I'm in trouble or when I need to call on God, I don't think of him as a little baby, do you? I think him as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Now he said, this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. One account that I have read, maybe you have also, maybe you have different opinions or ideas about it. But my understanding that in those days they wrapped the little babies in swaddling clothes to strengthen the limbs as the baby grew. It would be wrapped around the limbs and they would give strength as the baby began to move their legs and do things with their legs. But the baby was wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. But suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And they that heard it wondered those things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Everything that happened that day was brand new. It had never happened before, and it will never happen again. But it was brand new. And Mary was experiencing things. She had this little baby. And the angels had went to the shepherds. And they began to praise God and give glory to his name. And the shepherds wanted to go to see such a great sight. They didn't tell them to go, but they wanted to go. And they wanted to see this great sight. And it says the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Glorifying and praising God. When you get in your hard times, when you get in your sufferings, when you get in those places you don't understand what God is doing and you don't know what's going on, you don't have any understanding of it all, I want to tell you this morning, and I want to encourage you this morning, glorify God. Praise the Lord. Even if the answer hasn't come, even if you don't feel like it, folks, the God of heaven this morning is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our glory. He's worthy of our honor. And they went away praising God and saying glory to God in the highest. And you and I today, I pray that the new year, as it rings in, if the Lord spares time and opportunity, that next year will be a year that we around here will begin praising God more. We will begin thanking God more. We will begin showing our appreciation even more of what God has done for us. They were glorifying God. The angels were glorifying God. Everybody was glorifying God. Jesus had come into the world to save his people, not in their sins, but from their sins. Oh, I hear people today saying some of the most foolish things. Oh, I know that we're not doing right, but we ask the Lord to forgive us every day. But we're still doing things that way. That's not what Jesus came for. That's not what the plan of salvation entails, folks. The plan of salvation is to set you and me free. It's to set us free from sin. As the brother said, from our sins and the sins of Adam. He had a plan in place, and folks, it was a perfect plan. It wasn't completed when that little babe was laid in a manger. But it was begun. It began on that day when little Jesus came into the world. It began on that day when they began to glorify. Folks, glorify God. I want to stress that this morning. Glorify Him. Praise Him. Audibly, with the fruit of your lips, give praise and glory to God for everything He's done for you. I'm amazed when I see people that struggle to get up and testify for what God has done for them. Folks, that ought to be one of the most easiest things that we have to do. We're among friends. We're among people that love us. We ought to stand up and tell the glory of God. If nothing else, we stand up and say, I thank the Lord that I'm still saved. Glory to God. Glory to God. Because if He didn't give you the grace to stay saved, you wouldn't be saved today. You're going to be facing all kinds of difficult things, all kinds of problems in life. And yet the Lord walks beside us and helps us. Gives us the strength and the grace that we need to be able to go on. To be able to go on and enjoy this blessed salvation. I want to read another verse. And when 8 days were accomplished, for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. We have experience here, and I won't go back and read it, but we have experience, and Brother Rick brought some of that out, where the angel came and he spoke to Joseph. We have an experience where the angel came and he spoke to Mary. Is it any wonder that we read, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart? I never experienced this before. This is so new to me. Can you put yourself in your place? The God of heaven is trusting me with His Son. He's trusting me. He's looking for me to be faithful. Folks, He's looking for you to be faithful. We come to service not just to hear what is being said, but we come here to praise God. Thank the Lord for everything that He's done for us, because He's surely done a lot. He did something for Sister Jackson this morning. Touched her body. She pressed her way out to service. No, didn't feel like it. She didn't feel like driving that far and coming out to service today. But I want to tell you, God's going to bless her for that. God's going to reward her for that. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. And that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. How diligent are we this morning? How diligent ought we to be in seeking the God of heaven? You say, well, I'm saved. I'm doing good. I've got a good experience. Folks, is it enough? You know, I've examined myself here lately, and I'm saying, Lord, is it enough? It's never enough. I want more and more and more of You. I want You to flood my soul with all the grace that You have for me that I can stand. He said, try me and prove me, and I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that which you're not able to contain. Try Him. Prove Him. Are you afraid of Him? Lord, help us this morning. I thank the Lord for the plan. But it was just beginning here. And we celebrate that and have been for ever since it happened. But I want to go on and celebrate something else that goes along with it. The plan. It was a complete plan. It didn't end when Jesus was born, did it? Let's turn over to Ephesians, the first chapter. We'll do some more reading. Ephesians 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints, which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed, listen, blessed be the God. Paul blessed him. Blessed be the God and the Father, our Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He came to this world as a little baby. He came in the flesh. He grew up to be a man. But folks, he had something greater than that for you and I, didn't he? He had some spiritual blessings that he wanted to bestow upon us. Because we have a spirit. There's a spirit in man, the Bible says. And the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. So it says, he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You will not ever receive a blessing outside of Christ. It's all done in Christ. It's all done through that great name, that name above all names. It's all done in Jesus Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him, now listen, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. Folks, the fact of it is, I believe that God has chosen everyone to believe and accept on his, believe on and accept his son, Jesus Christ. But not everyone is going to do it. So those of you that have done that and have accepted him, he said here that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Do you know this morning, and I feel sure that you do, you are God's inheritance, folks. His saints are his inheritance. The ones that have chosen to give up their way, to give up their life, to follow his son Jesus and take him into your heart and life. We are God's inheritance this morning through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. I tell you, I was reading some of these this week. It just blessed me. Just blessed me to think of those. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. He's made us accepted to the praise and the glory of his grace, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us, or to you and to me, the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Folks, don't be in despair. You don't have anything to worry about. God has it all covered, both in heaven and in earth. It's all brought into one being by Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. That's who we worship, isn't it? That's who we praise, isn't it? Having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of time, he will gather all things. Folks, when this world ends, when it's all over, when this Jesus comes back to earth again, it's all going to be completed and fulfilled in Jesus Christ. It's been given unto him. God gave it to him. He's the one that died for you. He's the one that shed his blood for you. He's the one that suffered on the cross. He's the one that took my sins and your sins and nailed them to that tree. He's the one that did it. In whom also We have obtained an inheritance. We have an inheritance too. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who maketh, worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. I believe that he is this morning. I thank the Lord that he is. Our citizenship, folks, is not in this world. Our citizenship's not here. It's in Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual citizenship. It will be given to us. Well, it's given to us now. But it will be given to us for eternity when we get over on the other side. Our treasure, he's our high priest, our hope, our inheritance. Our treasure is not here. Our affections are not here. Our blessings, all these things, they're in heaven this morning. Got to be able to see that. And take spiritual eyes to see that. They're all in heaven. We glorify the one and only Savior, Jesus Christ, who's made all this possible. That you and I can enjoy all this blessings. Our inheritance. You know what else our inheritance is? Our inheritance is the church. Been thanking God. I like to think on the church anyway. Been thanking God for the church, for the blessings that we have to come together, to be as one body, and that one body is Christ. We'll look at the 19th verse. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward? Oh, his power to usward. Who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought. See, God, Paul can't talk about Christ without talking about God too. Because they're one. They work together. Jesus come. And he came to glorify God, to glorify the Father, lift up the Father. And so he said, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above, this is where our Lord and Savior dwells this morning, all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You know, sometimes I wonder, maybe this is just my thinking. It was hard for Jesus to contain himself as a little boy. And as he was growing up, I want to tell this world so much. I want to bring so much. I want to bring a completeness in people's lives. I want to bring a fulfillment in people's lives. I want people to see my Father. I want to glorify him. But it took all those years to grow up to be 30 years old, didn't it? Took all those years. The Bible tells us that when he was a boy, he was subject unto his parents. He behaved himself, and he was subject unto his parents. Oh, but it says here to be the head over all things to the church. That's us this morning. Folks, this is part of the Christmas story. As sure as I'm standing here this morning, it's the reason why Jesus came. We talk about him being the reason for the season, but folks, it's so much more than that. He's the reason we're enjoying this blessed salvation today. He is the reason we have one body and one head. He is the head of the church and the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I appreciate that. Now I want you to consider the 20th verse that we read. It said, which he wrought in Christ when he raised them from the dead and set him at his own right hand. Folks, this story is not complete. It's not complete. And I can't fill in all the blanks this morning. I can't do that. Don't have time or the energy in my body. But I tell you, it's not complete without the cross. The Christmas story is not complete without the cross. Jesus paid it all, didn't he? Jesus did it all for you and me. He had to go to that cross because of our sins. Because we were lost and we were without hope. And he went to the cross that you and I can enjoy these wonderful blessings. Would you turn with me over to Colossians? Wearing down a little bit, but the Lord's blessing. You pray for us. I just want to read a couple more scriptures. Colossians, the first chapter. In the 18th verse, I'll begin at the 17th. Well, let's begin at the 16th. By him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. He's the beginning of the church. You and I, when we were born again, born of his blood, we were born into the church. He had the church prepared. The institution was already there. All you and I had to do was believe and be born into the church. And I'm thankful for that. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And think about that. The firstborn from the dead. Folks, he rose, didn't he? He went to that cross. He suffered and he bled and he died for you and I. But he rose again. He did that. You and I have that hope this morning. These old bodies are going to decay and back to the dust and the earth from which it came. But oh, the resurrected glory of God. The resurrected glory of a new body. Through our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, he came out of that grave and he appeared unto his disciples. They saw his glorified body. Folks, he's the first fruits of our resurrection. Firstborn from the dead, that in all things he has preeminence. You know, I just amaze me sometimes how a man could get exalted. If God's doing things in your life, or doing things in your work for him, how can you get exalted? It's God that's doing it. Always give him the preeminence. Always give him the glory. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus all the way. For each and every one of us this morning. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. The resurrection, or the cross and the resurrection, is the end of the little story. But it's the true story. It's the plan that God had for us. He had a plan to save us from our sins. He had a plan to save us in our completeness. He had a plan to bring us back to God. He had a plan to send the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into the truth. He wanted us to see him as he is. He wants us to glorify him as he is. And he's surely worthy this morning for us to praise the Lord. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, now Paul's talking to us, isn't he? That were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Praise God. Do I need any other reason to praise the Lord? Do I need any other reason to exalt his name? When you were enemies, alienated in your mind by wicked works, he reconciled you in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded, settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Folks, I thank the Lord this morning for this glorious truth. I thank the Lord that Christmas has a deeper meaning than what the world's putting on it. It has a deeper meaning. I hope and pray it does for you. There's something really deep about this. It comes down right to where we live. It gives us the hope and the promise. He said, this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. He said that in his prayer over in John. This is life eternal. Folks, I've been praying and saying, Lord, I've been kind of sick lately, and you know all about it. You know what the problems are. But Lord, and I enjoy life. I appreciate life. It's a struggle a lot of times, especially as you get older. You keep growing, you'll find out. You keep living, you'll find out. And it becomes a struggle sometimes, but I enjoy life. But oh, the thought. I can't even comprehend. Can you? I can't comprehend the glory of eternity. The glory of being in the presence of God. The glory to worship Him. I won't have an enemy anymore. There won't be no devil. He's in the lake of fire now. And I'm going to be in the presence of God to worship Him and praise Him forevermore. One fellow said one time, he said, if that's all you're going to do when you get to heaven, I'm not so sure I want to go there. Folks, I want to go there. I want to praise my Savior for dying for me. I want to look Him in His face and say, thank you, Lord, and I'll say it throughout eternity. If He'll allow me to say it. I want to praise the Lord that way. I want to praise the Lord that way. Can I finish over in Revelations? Revelations, the 4th chapter, I think it is. Revelations 4, verse 8. And the four beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy. I'm going to reiterate it again, folks. Praise the Lord. He's holy. It doesn't say he's love, love, love. It doesn't say he's merciful, merciful, merciful. But because he's holy, he's all the above. He's holy. He represents nothing but pure holiness to you and I. Everything that is pure, everything that is genuine. And they said, holy unto the Lord. Now, where's my verse at? Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. You know, if we were looking at this from a human perspective, we would say, You're kind of conceited, God. You must think you're really special, God, that everybody has to glorify you. Folks, He's God. And I'm perfectly fine with glorifying God. Because He's holy. And it says, all things for Thy pleasure they are and were created. You were created to praise God. You were created to glorify God. And I want the Lord to help us. As our little congregation here, as we come into a new year, let's praise God more. Let's lift Him up in our hearts more. Folks, let this genuineness in lifting up our praise and our voices to God, let it happen. You know what? God's going to come down. And He's going to be in our midst even more. He's going to bless us even greater. When you get in those places where you don't feel like glorifying God and the pain is so great and whatever trouble you're going through is so difficult, folks, glorify God. It'll get His attention. Yes, it will. It'll get His attention, folks. God wants to be praised. He wants to be glorified. Glorifying God is honoring Him with the fruit of our lips. Praising God for all that He has done. When He sent His Son into the world, I appreciate that very much. But folks, that's just the beginning of salvation, isn't it? It's just the beginning of the plan, the Christmas story, as you and I know it. Jesus went through all those things and suffered and bled and died for you and I. And He gave us, because He was concerned about us here on earth, He gave us the church. I'm glad He gave us the church. And all that works to perfection when we see the church as one body. He had one body to give. Lord, help us to be as one body. No divisions, no isms, no schisms in the body. But just worshiping and praising God, thanking Him for what He's done for us. Folks, what He's done for me in the last 70 years, I have much to be thankful for. I have much to be praising the Lord for. And you do too. For He blesses each and every one of us every day. I thank the Lord. As I said, I feel I'd be remiss if I didn't mention something about Christmas today. But folks, I want us to understand the depths of what Christmas really means. What Jesus, this little baby, grew up to do for you and I. And how He conquered three things. He conquered three things. He conquered death, hell, and the grave for you and me. He did that with His life. Because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And His only begotten Son, doesn't say this, gave His life to you and I because He loved us too. And I thank the Lord for it this morning. Thank you for your time and attention.